Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the fascinating Mahabharata character series. Today we will discuss about Vidura. So Vidura was born through a maidservant and Vyasadeva. So Ambika and Ambalika are the two sisters who had the responsibility of producing heir to the Kuru dynasty, were asked to unite with the brother-in-law of their husband, and Vyasadeva, when he came, the lady shuddered to unite with him, and they sent this lady, her name was Shudri, to maid servant to unite with Vyasadeva. And because she was had a very respectful attitude towards Vyasadeva, he served him diligently. And Vyasadeva, of course, was a sage who is oceanic in wisdom. And it was his wisdom that was manifested in Vidura in an extraordinary way. Vidura is recognized as an extremely wise character in the Mahabharata. In fact, his wisdom in the Mahabharata is second only to Krishna's. So the Pandavas, they take counsel from Krishna, and that is, he's their foremost guide. But along with Krishna, if they trust anyone and take guidance from anyone, they take it from Vidura. And Vidura's conversations with Dhritarashtra, which occur repeatedly in the Mahabharata, they have been compiled together, and they are called as the Vidura Niti. And Vidura Niti in many ways is the precursor of Chanakya Niti, which has become very famous. Niti means morality. So Vidura Niti is Vidura's instructions on morality. And Vidura is considered to be the not just a personification of wisdom, a greatly wise person, but along with that, he is also a extraordinary friend. A tireless friend who seeks the well-being of Dhritarashtra, even though Dhritarashtra repeatedly rebuffs the advice that is given by Vidura. So now, many of the stories in the Mahabharata also have connections with previous life incidents. So it is described that Vidura is or was Yamaraj, Dharma, in his previous life. And once he gave excessive punishment to a sage, and because of that he was cursed to be born in the human species and be born in a Shudra family. So he got a low birth, but he retained the wisdom. Now Yamaraj is also a great soul. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajanas. These Mahajanas are the persons who are exemplary in their knowledge of Dharma and in their dharmic conduct. So one among them is Yamaraj. And this Yamaraj was cursed once. So there was a great rishi named Mandavya. And at one time he was just in his hermitage, and some thief came and hid over there. And when the thief was caught, at that time the soldiers who had come to catch him, they arrested the sage also. And the sage was arrested of abetting the crime, and therefore he was also arrested, and he was sentenced to be hanged. And almost he was hanged, and that time the king got the news. And the king came and he begged forgiveness from the sage. Please forgive, you are innocent and you are a great sage, and it is a great wrong that I have done, please forgive me. Now, this Mandavya Rishi, he did not blame the king, but he decided to go to the cause. He decided to go to Yamaraj and ask him that, why was I punished like this when I had not done any wrong? So Yamaraj told him that when you were a child, you saw an ant and you pierced the ant with a sharp blade-like object and with a needle sort of object. And because you caused that pain to the ant, so therefore you had to suffer the pain of almost having your head cut off. Or similar cutting pain you had to suffer as a reaction. But because it was you had killed the ant in childhood, so you did not have to die. So there was intervention, and that's how you are saved. So Mandavya Rishi said that actually a child doesn't know right from wrong. And how can a child be punished for something that is done in the early days of one's life, in the childhood, when one doesn't have discrimination? And where is almost a person coming to the verge of death, a person being accused of abetting a crime and being treated like a criminal, sent to the sentence of death? So this is an entirely disproportionate reaction. And because this is a disproportionate reaction you have given, you are not worthy of being the judge of human beings. And therefore, I curse you to have to live among those whom you are supposed to judge. Go and live among them. And in this way, Pandav Rishi cursed. And that's why Yamaraj had to take birth as Vidura. Now, the part of the curse was that he had to take birth in a human womb. And second was, he had to take birth in a human womb which would not be respectable. And that was a Shudra womb. So, now Vidura, he carried on with the wisdom of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj is a post. There is a person who occupies that post. And Aryama is another devta who is especially in charge of the ancestors. He officiated in the absence. Just as if in a country's government, if there's one portfolio with one minister, say the finance minister is there and the foreign affairs minister is there. Say if the foreign affairs minister falls sick, then maybe the finance minister will take up the post for some time, officiate in his absence. So like that, Aryama officiated in his absence. So this is what the Bhagavatam describes. Interestingly, Vidura, he was born in a Shudra family, but he had great wisdom. And Bhishma trained all these three sons, Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidura. And when Satyavati asked about who should become the king, what are the virtues of these three? So Bhishma commended Vidura for his wisdom and Dhritarashtra for his strength and Pandu for his military prowess. So all three had laudable qualities, and because Vidura had great wisdom, but because he was not born directly in the royal lineage, you know, his father was Vyasadeva and his mother was a lady in waiting. So because of that, he was not entitled to become the king. So he was made the royal counselor, and he acted as the prime minister of the kingdom for a long time. And Dhritarashtra was older among the two brothers, Pandu and Dhritarashtra. They were in the royal lineage. So Dhritarashtra could not become the king because Vidura pointed out that a blind person could not lead. Now Dhritarashtra knew this and nobody had spoken it out, but when Vidura spoke it out, he had the courage to speak it out, and then Dhritarashtra consented and blessed Vidura, so that blessed Pandu, so Pandu became the king. Later on, when Pandu retired to the forest, at that time, Dhritarashtra was the official ruler, but for practical purpose, it was Vidura who was ruling till Duryodhana came of age. And after Duryodhana came of age, then Vidura was relegated to the background position. Now, Yamaraj committing a mistake so that he becomes Vidura, that may seem a little odd. How can Yamaraj commit a mistake? We often say that in the human system there is mistake, but in God's system of justice there is no mistake. You have to understand that even the devatas are not the supreme beings. Devatas can also commit mistakes. We see Indra commits mistakes. He tries to destroy the Prajavasis, and Krishna has to protect them by lifting Govardhan. So devatas can also commit mistakes. Just as we human beings can commit mistakes, devatas have more knowledge, more power, and they may not commit mistakes of the kind that we do, but still they commit mistakes, because to err is the characteristic of all living beings except the Supreme Being, and those who are very intimately connected with Him, they act with a pure motivation. So errors can happen with anyone. Ultimate analysis point of view, Krishna arranges that nobody gets a disproportionate suffering. So if somebody, because of somebody's mistake, if A gets a disproportionate punishment because of B's lack of judgment, then that is maybe disproportionate in that context. But there is some other karma because of which this reaction has come. And that's how the karmic balance is adjusted. So, the devatas can also commit mistakes because they are also finite and fallible living beings. They have much more knowledge than us, and that's how they can also take up far greater responsibilities than what we can take up. And that's why they are devatas. But they are fallible. So, Vidura, who is Yamaraj now, is born because of that curse of Mandavya Rishi. He guides Dhritarashtra regularly and he takes care of the administration of the kingdom. And when the Pandavas come back home, there is a natural affection between the Pandavas and Vidura. Now it's interesting that Yudhishthir is also the son of Dharma and Vidura is Dharma's expansion. So there is a natural attraction between Vidura and Yudhishthir for both reasons. Now, both are virtuous, both are noble, both are very learned in scripture and both are dharmically inclined in a very deep and dedicated way. So naturally there is an attraction between the two. But Vidura always tried to do good for the whole dynasty. Although there was a natural affection in his heart for the Pandavas. But he also sought the well-being of the Kauravas also and tried to do what was good for the entire dynasty. Now Vidura, he was reduced to powerlessness because a counselor or a minister can only give advice. And if the king does not take the advice, the counselor is rendered powerless totally. So that was the misfortune of Dhritarashtra. You know, if a good advice is neglected, it is the person who rejects the advice who suffers far more than the person who gives the advice. So Vidura repeatedly tried to give good counsel to Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra would hear the counsel, get a little bit influence, show sign of influence, but when Duryodhana would intervene and emotionally manipulate him, Dhritarashtra would again become weak. And the wicked were able to manipulate the weak, and the good, Vidura's words, always fell on blind ear, deaf ears. They turned out to be ineffectual. So, for a virtuous person to see wrong happening is extremely difficult. And Vidura could have walked away at any time. Especially when, you know, Vidura had many, many difficult tasks to do. So, initially when the Pandavas were going to, were told by Dhritarashtra to go to Varanavart. So, Vidura was shrewd. And he knew that a conspiracy was afoot. And he had his spies, and those spies told him what is happening. So he warned Yudhishthira. And he told Yudhishthira in a local dialect. When Yudhishthira was just departing, he spoke something to in local dialect so that other people would not understand. And he wanted to make sure that Yudhishthira was protected. At the same time, he also wanted to make sure that the spies of Duryodhana, who were likely to be around, should not detect anything wrong. So he spoke in a local dialect in an enigmatic way, message. So this is how things have to be done in royal households often, where there are intrigues and conspiracies that happen frequently. So he said that, you know, one who knows that there are ways to kill without piercing with weapons, that person will stay protected. One who knows that the forest fire which burns all the animals in the forest does not burn the snakes who go underground, that person will be protected. One who controls his senses and acts calmly and intelligently, such a person will eventually attain prosperity. So, Kunti was also there. She couldn't understand the message. But it was Yudhishthir who understood. And Yudhishthir told that what he means is that we will be under danger, but not from physical weapons like swords or arrows. There will be another kind of danger, and that is the danger of fire. And the idea of some those who go underground not suffering, he said that we should dig a tunnel to find a way out. And when the Pandavas came to Varanavart, there, the same coded message that Vidura had spoken, there was a messenger, there was a person who spoke the same coded message. Thereby, they understood that this is Vidura's man. And he told him, that person told the Pandava that I am going to dig a tunnel through the palace so that you can go out whenever you want. And when the Pandava stayed there for almost 1 year, and there was a Purochan who had been appointed by Duryodhana to eventually set the palace on fire. So the Pandavas recognized the intention and they preempted, they themselves set it on fire and Purochan died. But when the Pandavas left from there, when they came out at the other end of the tunnel and they went deep into the forest, there in a boat, a person was waiting. And that person spoke the same coded message that the earlier person who was like a tunnel digger who had spoken. And this person also Vidura's man. So Vidura, he had his hands everywhere. And he made sure the Pandavas were protected from the from the vicious and malevolent acts of Duryodhana. So Vidura was very, he loved his brother and he wanted his good, but at the same time he was not naive. He kept his eyes and ears open and he recognized that there is always danger and he had to protect the Pandavas from the danger. And eventually, when the Pandavas were, Pandavas came back to Hastinapur with Draupadi after they won Draupadi's hand in the Swayamvar, it was Vidura who welcomed them. Dhritarashtra also spoke of welcoming words, but Dhritarashtra was feeling, my son will not be the king now. And again, now because Dhritarashtra was the king and Vidura was a subordinate, so Dhritarashtra sent Vidura to go as the messenger to call for the gambling match. Now this is something which is excruciating. When one knows that something is wrong, and not only does one have to see it happen, but one has to do it, be a part of it. It's extremely difficult. And Vidura went to from Hastinapur to Indraprastha and gave the message. So Yudhishthir saw that Vidura's face was frowning and his eyes were filled with great anxiety. And he understood that something very inauspicious is happening. And when Vidura told that king has invited you for a gambling match, Yudhishthira was also dismayed. He did not want to go. And as the gambling match progressed, Vidura again and again gave advice. He told stories from the scriptures, quoting how there is this great danger for a person who is greedy. He told that just as a person who tries to climb up a high mountain in the hope of getting some wealth over there. Maybe there is honey high up in the mountain, the person wants to go there to get honey. And the person goes up, 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 his eyes are so looking at the top that he doesn't see his footing. And he goes to a place where the things are very dangerous and slips and falls and dies. Similarly, Duryodhana is so greedy that he is simply thinking of the honey of the kingdom. But he's not thinking that he's creating such danger. You know, he is practically taking five dangerous cobras and putting them inside his cloth. By causing the enmity with the Pandavas, he's sentencing himself to destruction. Stop him! Stop him! Stop him! So Vidura protests vehemently. But at that time, Karna and Duryodhana fiercely try to counter Vidura's arguments. And Dhritarashtra remains silent. And things move on. And it is by Vidura's strong speech that finally Dhritarashtra stops the gambling match and gives the kingdom back. But again, when Duryodhana pursues him, he calls Vidura call the Pandavas back. Another gambling match is there. And again, the Pandavas are sent to the forest. So Vidura is mortified. And the second time when the Pandavas go into the forest, the first time they went to the forest from Varanavart, when the house of lakh was set on fire, and the Pandavas went incognito that time. They dressed as Brahmins and they lived as Brahmins for some time. So at that time, Kunti had also gone with them. This time, when the Pandavas were going to the forest, Vidura told Yudhishthir that Kunti has become quite old now. She cannot endure the austerities of forest life. So please let her stay with me. And Vidura's words were accepted by Yudhishthir. And Kunti was heartbroken to see her sons enduring such terrible suffering. And it was Vidura who consoled her at that time. So Vidura's marriage had been arranged by Bhishma with a Yadava girl. Her name was Sulabha. And Sulabha was also a great dharmic lady. And she and Kunti, they lived together, and she consoled Kunti, and they became great friends while they were living together. And for all the 13 long years, Vidura and his wife, they offered shelter and solace to Kunti during her lonely existence. You know, her husband had died long ago, and her sons had gone away from her, had been sent away by vicious men's conspiracies away from her. So Vidura served the Pandavas by serving and protecting their mother. And at one time, soon after the Pandavas had gone to exile, we discussed how Dhritarashtra got angry when Vidura gave good advice, and he sent Vidura off into the forest also. He said, I don't care for you. Now at that time, Vidura could very well have gone away. And when Dhritarashtra sent Sanjay to call Vidura back, Vidura could have said, I'll not come back. But still, Vidura was tireless in his love for Dhritarashtra. And he wanted to do good. He knew that Dhritarashtra was in his own way wise. Although he was sometimes acting in wicked ways, his problem was more of weakness than wickedness. And he wanted to do good for Dhritarashtra. And that's why he agreed to come back. So actually, it is a great fortune if someone has a friend like Vidura. And Dhritarashtra had such a great friend, but it was his misfortune that he never valued such a friend. And because of failing to value such a friend, he had to court great disaster. You know, if somebody is neglected, disrespected, and then sent away, and then told to that I don't care for you, such a person will not come back. Now, was Vidura attached to Dhritarashtra? No, not at all. Vidura would not avoid giving strong advice. You know, whatever was the right thing, Vidura would strongly advise. Even in the presence of Duryodhana, even in the presence of Dhritarashtra, he spoke the truth. Now, in the assembly when Draupadi was being dishonored, at that time, Vidura spoke very strongly against Duryodhana, as we discussed. So, at that time, Duryodhana got very angry and he says, fie upon Katva. One of the other names of Vidura was Katva. He says, fie upon him. Who's told him to come here? What does he want? He's always acting in ways that are against our interests. And he what does he know? He has no intelligence. After all, he's born from a Shudra womb. And in this way, he grievously insulted Vidura. So at that time, Dhritarashtra checked him. And he could have checked Duryodhana by saying, oh, don't disrespect your uncle like this. But Dhritarashtra said, don't disrespect the Prime Minister like this. So Dhritarashtra, in one sense, acknowledged the absence of an intimate relationship by not mentioning that relationship at all. And naturally, Vidura saw this as a signal that Dhritarashtra, if there was ever going to be a conflict, he would side on the side of Duryodhana and not on his side. Still, knowing all this, Vidura wanted to do his part in giving good counsel. And that's why Vidura went back and he stayed with Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra would again and again call him for advice and hear the advice and never implement the advice. Finally, just before the war started, at a time when the war seemed inevitable, again Dhritarashtra called Vidura for advice. And Vidura gave advice and Vidura told him, stop the war, check Duryodhana. But when Vidura saw that his words were not having an effect on Dhritarashtra, then he decided to call somebody who would have more purity and potency. So there is a section in the Mahabharata called the Sanak Sujatiya section of the Mahabharata. So Sanak Sujatiya was a sage who had instructed Vidura earlier and with whom Vidura had an intimate relationship. So he prayed to that sage, and that sage, by the mystical power, understood Vidura's request, and he came there. And he gave elaborate instructions to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra heard those philosophical instructions, but still, his heart did not change. Dhritarashtra was a person who liked to hear instructions, but somehow those instructions would not sink into his heart. He knew that they were good, they made sense, but he couldn't act on them. Why? Because he was too attached. And then finally, just before the war was about to start, at that time, Vidura decided to make one final effort to forcefully do all that he could to ensure that the war was avoided. And he spoke strongly to Dhritarashtra, criticizing Duryodhana for his evil and malicious ways. And at that time, Duryodhana is terribly insulted. He says, what does this Shudra's son know? And he says, throw him out of the palace immediately. Let him go out with nothing except his own breath. And now to speak like this to a minister and prime minister at that was a great insult. And everybody looked at Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra remained silent. And Vidura saw this silence, and Vidura left. And as he was going out, he had his bow with him. He was also, although he is not known to fight, but he also had fighting skills, because he was, after all, born as a member of the royal family. But he put his bow near the door and he left. So now Drona, Bhishma and Karna were obliged to the Kuru dynasty per se. Vidura, when Dhritarashtra did not acknowledge the relationship at a critical moment and again let Duryodhana grievously insult him, Vidura felt no obligation. In fact, he felt relief that he would now not have to fight on behalf of the Kauravas against the Pandavas. So he saw in this adversity also an opportunity. The opportunity to avoid the war. And then we see that in the Ramayana and in the Mahabharata, there are similar characters. Similarities are there. That there is a good virtuous side and there is a bad or vicious side. But in the vicious side also, there are some good people. So in the Ramayana, Ravana is evil and his brother is Vibhishan, who tries to give advice and stop Ravana from his evil course. And when Ravana doesn't act, listen to him, Vibhishan goes over to the side of Ram and helps Ram fight the war against Ravana. Now, Vidura doesn't go directly against Dhritarashtra. Why is that? There are multiple reasons. And the most important reasons is that in the Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra is not directly the evil person. He is the evil person by consent or by silence, by assent to one who is truly evil, that is Duryodhana. So, Duryodhana was of course so evil that he was almost irredeemable. But Dhritarashtra was not irredeemable. And Vidura decided that if he fought against Dhritarashtra's sons and played a part in killing them, Dhritarashtra would never be able to hear him. So, he decided to go on a pilgrimage at the time of the war. And by going to the pilgrimage, he increased his own piety, his own spirituality, his own knowledge of morality. And in this way, he enriched himself spiritually and intellectually and religiously through the adversity that came upon him. And before he went, so Vidura is often known as a virtuous person, but he was not just a virtuous person, he was also a greatly devoted person, and that devotion is recognized even by Krishna himself directly. So when Krishna had come as a Shanti Dut, at that time Duryodhana was planning to arrest Krishna, but he thought of going along with Dhritarashtra's plan and offering a royal reception. Krishna refused the reception and he decided to go and stay in the palace of Vidura for the night. Now, this was entirely unexpected, because Vidura, although he was elder, but still there was Bhishma who was older to him, and then Krishna chose to go to the house of Vidura. And because it was not expected, Vidura's wife, when she saw that Krishna has come, she was so delighted, excited, but also almost flustered. The Supreme Lord has come to her house. And then, when she came, she welcomed him, she wanted to offer him some food. But she was so excited that she offered him a banana. And when she offered him a banana, she just peeled the banana, and in her excitement, she threw the banana away and offered Krishna the peel. And Krishna took the peel. And then she offered bananas. And then Krishna took them. And then, finally, Krishna said, enough, now I'll go. And when Krishna had come to her house at that time, to Vidura's house, Vidura was not there at that time. So Krishna departed, and then Vidura came rushing in. And he asked, I heard Krishna had come to our house. He said, yes. He said, I was so unfortunate, I could not be there when Krishna came to our house. And then he said, did you offer him proper hospitality? Did you feed him something? He said, yes. I gave him bananas. He ate so many bananas. Just see, the peels are there over there. And they look back and they saw not the peels, but the bananas over there. And they look at the banana peels, they look at each other, and both of them were thinking of the wonderful Lord, you know, who loves his devotees so much that while accepting the offering of his devotees, he accepts their devotion and he neglects the everything else. So Krishna was not tasting the banana peels and their bitter taste. Krishna was tasting the sweetness of the devotion of Vidura and his wife, Sulabha. So, such was the caliber of the devotion of Vidura. And again, Krishna later came back to his house. And he stayed at his house overnight. And even then, now Vidura would often do devotional activities late into the night or early in the morning. And he attended to Krishna very carefully. I told Krishna, what is the purpose in going to the assembly? He said, I know Duryodhana is not going to listen to you. In fact, you will be insulted. Vidura could not stand the thought that the same assembly in which Draupadi had been insulted, now Krishna would be insulted there. And he felt that, I will not be, why do you want to go to a place, Krishna, where you will be insulted? Where you know that Duryodhana's incorrigible nature. I spent my whole life trying to make Duryodhana see sense, and he has never listened. He's not going to listen now also. So Vidura expressed his heart's concern. Devotee wants the Lord always to be honored and never wants the Lord to be dishonored. So he said, my dear Lord, why are you going there? So Krishna told him, I know Duryodhana is not going to listen. But I am going there because I want to show the world that the Pandavas did everything possible to avoid war. And they chose war only because they were forced to, as a last resort. That will be demonstrated by my going there. And Vidura was also there when Krishna demonstrated the Virat Rupa. So Vidura was also a great devotee. And he enriched himself spiritually during his pilgrimage. And while he was in the pilgrimage, he got the news of the war and how the Kauravas had been destroyed. And then, after many years of going on and on in pilgrimage, then he came back. When he came back to the Pandavas, at that time the Pandavas were delighted to see him. Actually, there is much that is described about Vidura in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Mahabharata. So when he is in pilgrimage, Vidura meets Uddhava also. And he asks about Krishna to Uddhava. And Vidura then goes to Maitreya Rishi, who has heard Krishna's last instructions, the Uddhava Gita. So Krishna spoke the message to Uddhava, and Maitreya was also there in audience hearing. Vidura wanted to know about Krishna more. So Vidura asked Uddhava, but Uddhava said that Maitreya is a senior sage, so please go and ask him. And Vidura receives further instructions from Maitreya Rishi. And Uddhava tells Vidura that actually you are so dear to Krishna that just before Krishna departed, he remembered you. So this is the devotion of Vidura, that even amidst great austerity, adversities, he remained faithful to the principles of Dharma and faithful to his devotion to the Supreme Lord. So he came back to the assembly of the Kurus, now of the Pandavas, and there Dhritarashtra was ruling, acting almost like a king, although he was blind and he never had the right to be the king, and those whom he had tried to kill were now actually the rulers. He was taking all the royal privileges, and Vidura felt pity for him. And he spoke strong words of chastisement. And at that time, because Dhritarashtra's hopes of the prosperity of his sons were completely lost. So at that time his words had effect, and Dhritarashtra became enlightened. So Vidura exemplified tireless friendship, you know, wanting to do good to others, being affectionate without being attached. Vidura was affectionate to Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra was attached to Duryodhana. What is the difference between affection and attachment? Affection is where we have positive emotions towards a person, but we act in a way that is for the well-being of that person. Attachment is when we let that person do whatever that person wants just because we don't want to displease the person. So an affectionate person will even give good advice to one's object of affection, one's person whom one loves, even if that advice is unpalatable, if that is desirable and that is true. But an attached person cannot do that. So as devotees, we should cultivate affection, not attachment. I mean, whenever we are in human relationships, it's natural that we have feelings for the people around us. And that is desirable also. Otherwise, society will not be maintained. But our feeling should be affection. Affection, not attachment. Attachments will drag us down. But affection will lift others up. So Vidura, he at that time, Duryodhana had ultimately been killed. He enlightened Dhritarashtra. And he enlightened Dhritarashtra. And then he took Dhritarashtra along with Gandhari to the forest. And Dhritarashtra eventually attained auspicious end. And Vidura himself was a great sage. And in the Mahabharata, it is described that because Vidura and Yudhishthira were related in an extraordinary way, because Vidura was, as I said, an expansion of Yamaraj, and Yudhishthira was the son of Yamaraj, son of Dharma. Dharma is actually Yamaraj. So, in the forest, and Duryodhana, when Yudhishthira had gone in search of Dhritarashtra and others, there, at one time, he met Vidura. And in some renditions of the Mahabharata is described how Vidura, when he departed from the world, he granted his wisdom to Yudhishthira. So he by a mystical process transferred his prowess. So in one sense, it is the same Yamaraj who is manifested here and who is manifested as a son over here. So he manifested his wisdom so that Yudhishthira could rule with virtue and glory. And then Yudhishthira returned back to a heavenly destination. And in that way, Vidura lived a glorious life of virtue, of unflinching, genuine, affectionate friendship. Thank you. Hare Krishna.